Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit walk-off single by El Mago, the magic man. Magnifico tonight.
Shotgun, high snap. Cutler takes it down. Has plenty of time. Winds up to the end zone.
Wow.
Touchdown catch.
What a catch.
Touchdown Bears. Oh, my, what a catch.
Well, it was a heck of a throw by Jay Cutler to have confidence in his own ability to make it, but then the catch was equally as great as the throw.
Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Man, the countdown is on to the major sports we care about. We're exactly 1 week away from the Cubs playing the White Sox in an exhibition game at Wrigley Field. But Tom, it's a game. Both teams 12 days away from playing baseball games that count. We are 16 days away from the start of Bears training camp at Halas Hall. There are 20 days to go until the Blackhawks resume their season in Edmonton against the Oilers. 18 days left until the NBA season gets going again. So close to real sports. Hi, everyone. A pleasant good afternoon to you. Alongside Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman, we're here until 3 o'clock, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Tom, I'm as pumped up as anyone about the sports we care about starting again. Is this really going to happen?
Well, you know, I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to be an exciting crosstown rival game between the Cubs and the Sox because, you know, it's just not as relaxed as a preseason game. Don't let anybody tell you that because when you're talking about a 60-game season, it's much more of a measuring stick because the immediacy of winning is right here, Zach. And then you match up the Cubs versus the Sox. These guys are competing for the attention of the city. And I know there's, you know, the fans are split all across, you know, this area of the country with the Cubs and Sox. But I think the game would be meaningful. I think it would be super exciting. It's it is a measuring stick of where they're at this point in the preparation for the season. And not to ignore the COVID the COVID virus, because we need to see the response to that and from that also. So I think it's a measuring stick in a lot of different ways because one thing, these guys are going to protect themselves. And if they protect themselves and they stay away from having an abundance of COVID-19 COVID tests on the positive side, then I think it's a better understanding for what the rest of the country has to do in terms of acknowledge, you know, wearing a mask, protecting yourself. Because if you can take these guys, separate them, have them live in a comfortable existence, stay away from significant outbreaks, maybe it's telling more than just what type of baseball teams they are.
I'm so confused because I thought that the biggest hurdle for sports getting underway was going to be the diligence of the people playing the sports. Instead, it's our country that has been lax overall in doing the things that you need to do to live within this world that includes the virus. And it seems like we're going backwards in the state of Illinois, Tom, three straight days of at least 1,000 cases. The last time that happened was back in the end of May. Illinois now one of 33 states recording an upward trend in new cases. And these are sobering numbers, Tom. More than half of the states in our country have paused or rolled back their reopening plans in hopes of slowing down new cases. And after reported daily U.S. infections broke records several times in recent days, coronavirus deaths in the United States have begun to climb after falling for months. So it's a very strange thing to be talking about how John Lester is going to look in an intra-squad matchup later on today at Wrigley Field, or Gio Gonzalez and Dane Dunning going for the White Sox this afternoon on the South Side, and what those two clubs will do against one another in next week's exhibition when you have these alarming numbers across the United States of America.
Yeah, but again, you have the numbers outside the protection of professional sports. So that's why I'm saying maybe if they have a positive response to their own protective measures, maybe that can send a message to the outside environment in saying, look, you guys, we're trying to provide an entertainment for this world to be able to have something that they look forward to, even if it's as short as 3 hours a week. And we are taking these measures to protect us, our teammates, our organization, our coaching staff, training staff, everybody that has a hand in putting these teams on the field. And the measures they're taking, they're working. So, hey, that reflection can maybe spill out to the outside world. Maybe that's a naive approach to me, but I've always been an optimist, and I want sports to happen because I do think it's just a positive distraction in terms of what we're looking for right now.
Right. I think that if you could have a little escape at the end of every day where you can watch your favorite team playing a game as opposed to just sitting at home all day reading books after working at home, or those that have to go out and do the essential work away from the house, you just want a little bit of an escape where for a few hours you don't have to think about the virus and everything that it entails. It's going to be tough to do that because the virus will definitely impact sports. It already has. Two White Sox have tested positive. You know, today there was supposed to be a Major League Soccer game between DC United and Toronto, and it was postponed before kickoff because of two possible positive coronavirus test results. The Yankees have announced that the former Cub closer, Aroldis Chapman, has tested positive for COVID-19. You and I, Tom, talked about this during the week. Ohio State's football team, North Carolina's football team have both paused workouts because of testing results. Ohio State not saying how many positive cases. The Big Ten and Pac-12 will only play conference opponents this fall. The Ivy League has canceled all sports until 2021. There was a Power 5 athletic director who told The Athletic this week, quote, "It feels like we're just postponing the inevitable." And one sport that I've not mentioned is the sport that you love more than any other, and that is football, the National Football League. And there are some major issues there. Can this be done safely? Knowing what you know about what it takes to play the game, understanding as a regular citizen in this world the precautions you have to take to keep yourself safe from the virus, can those two things mesh?
Well, you know, all the measurements that you just talked about, I'm 100% for. If you want to cancel a soccer game because of some positive tests, that's getting ahead of what could happen if they didn't. You know, I think it's just different examples we have to take. I think, you know, in terms of the proper way, the body fluids that are transferred in a football game on the line of scrimmage, it's heavy duty. You know, I sweat profusely, and I know when I'm making a collision, so, you know, that's transferring to the other guy. So you do have to be aware of that and see if the numbers explode with a small amount of time when they do get together. I also think you have to pay attention to the results of the active UFC. There's no sport right now that has more transferable body touching than the UFC for periods of time. And I think if you do become in a bubble, an isolated arena, and you come in there and they're having positive results, or they're not having an abundance of COVID testing, either within the training team of each of these fighters. So there's more than just each fighters you have to pay attention to. So we do have a little bit of examples, but I do think everything that we're going through is a learning experience for the next step. You know, we can't talk about any sport right now and put a period at the end of the sentence. We can talk about what we want to happen in the sports, and then it's a comma. You know, it's whatever, you know, hesitates that sentence to finish it eventually. So, you know, we got to wait and see, Zach. And, again, it's okay for us to be excited about what could possibly happen. To me, I couldn't think of anything more excited than going out to Halas Hall at the end of July, the beginning of August, and watch the amount of snaps that Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles are taking, to see what Robert Quinn looks like across the line of scrimmage from Khalil Mack, to see what Akeem Hicks brings when he enthusiastically practices. So all of those types of things. I'm not going to hide from that excitement, but I also have an understanding that it could be hesitated at a moment's notice, and, you know, they have to learn from what they're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, the Blackhawks have some championship experience, and they got new life. And beginning August 1st, they have, now it's a slim possibility, but they're in the dance. They've got an opportunity to potentially, if they get on a hot streak and play well, they have a chance to play for the Stanley Cup. Who doesn't want to see that?
So does the White Sox. They have a chance to play for the World Series.
The White Sox and the Cubs both have great opportunities to make the playoffs this year.
Right, but, you know, the Cubs already had an outside chance because of the core and the guys they had, the recent experiences of the World Series. But then you talk about the direction the White Sox have been going since the offseason began. When you talk about the Hawks, yeah, man, they could sneak in the Stanley Cup. But, you know, it's so exciting to have two baseball teams in the same city with a 60-game season that, you know, we could be watching meaningful playoff games at both parts of the town.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to be playing each other a lot this season, including the Cubs on the South Side to play the White Sox for the final three games of the regular season. And this is a year where everybody could be in it. I mean, one of those teams could knock the other out. They both could be playing for playoff positioning. Who knows what's going to happen? I just hope we can get there from a safety standpoint. But you're right, there was this video, I'm sure you saw it on all the newscasts and on social media. Luis Robert, the talented rookie from Cuba that everyone is calling a legend already before he's played a game. He hit a home run yesterday. He was caught off balance by a pitch, stumbled to the ground, and still smacked the ball out of the yard. I mean, it's unbelievable. We were talking with Steve Stone yesterday on The Score, and I think he would agree with this. He was downright giddy talking about the possibilities for the White Sox this season, a team that on purpose has not been in contention. I mean, they've been ramping up the last few years. They've not been a team that anyone has talked about. To get to this point where they are right now, where they've loaded up, there's so much young talent there. You get the feeling it's just a matter of when, not if, you're going to see this team take that next step. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year, but they're right on the cusp of turning the corner. And they're going to be in competition with Minnesota and Cleveland for the top spot in the American League Central. A lot of young players. They've added some veterans to the mix. But Robert is the most intriguing guy. And, you know, I was asking Stoney, give me a realistic comparison, because he's seen so much baseball over the course of his life. And he called him maybe the next Andre Dawson, with the combination of speed, power, glove. I mean, the guy's got all the tools. It's just a matter of his ability to adjust to what it's like to be in the majors. But that's what we want to see. That's the escape that I think all of us are looking for.
Right. You know, you and I were talking about a week ago about the great play Bo Jackson made climbing up the wall at Kansas City. And it was the 15-year anniversary. Well, it was the anniversary of it, because you sent me a clip of it. Mm-hmm. And so when I think of a guy that has power, speed, explosiveness, catching ability, base stealing speed that's almost a very few guys. I think of Bo Jackson. So when you think of a guy that has that power within his core and just, you know, his physique and the way he could transfer that power into real sports ability. God, when I saw that clip of him climbing the wall, and I think of what Bo Jackson was able to accomplish, and you think of young players with power, you know, if we could have a guy that showed those power skills and ability and played baseball all year round, that would be magical.
Yes, no doubt about it. And they say that he might be better than Bo Jackson from the standpoint that he is a better hitter, could hit for a higher average in addition to the power numbers and the speed and the glove. But you know what? I think if he starts out as Bo Jackson, you're going to be just fine on the south side. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. What are you most looking forward to by the end of the month when the sports you care about finally get underway again? Hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers. Hopefully they can keep it safe. Hopefully we do a better job overall as a country of taking this seriously, because even the NBA, I know they're down in that bubble down in Orlando, but they're still in one of the hot spots in the world, considering it's the state of Florida, and not everyone is in the bubble. You still have the people that are coming in and out, cleaning your hotel room, serving you food, the people that are going to be in charge of transportation. It's not a complete isolated bubble. There's still going to be some contact with the outside world, so that's why it is so crucial for everyone in this country. If you love sports, if you love life, you really need to be a little bit more diligent than we've been. And I'm talking about everybody. And the only tools that we have, and it's worked in Asia, it's worked in the European Union, and you've seen the sports that they play go off without a hitch. These are the simple tools that they've been using. And we have these tools available to us here in the United States. Wear a mask. Don't argue about it. Just wear a mask. Pay attention to distancing. Social distancing is key. It is the most important tool we have outside of masks. And then be diligent about your hygiene. Constantly wash your hands. Don't touch your face. These are simple things that if we do them, we can live. We can eventually, hopefully, send our kids to school at the beginning of the fall. We can hopefully watch some sports. Simple things that all of us can do. We're just not doing it. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk some sports. Plus, your phone calls. Ron Coomer will join us for the entire 2 o'clock hour. So we'll hit every possible baseball thing you've got on your mind coming up at 2 o'clock. Also, there's a report about what the NFL players and the NFL owners are arguing about. I want to get your take on that, Tom, when we come back, and I've got a lot of other stuff too. For example, what other competitions at training camp at Halas Hall are you looking forward to outside of the most important one, the quarterback competition? Your calls, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought you were going to say cornerback. Don't forget that position, Jack.
Well, that would be one of them that we're going to talk about later on the show. 312-644-6767. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. You can join us next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman with you until 3 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're so close. And it sounds weird saying it considering what's happening in the real world, but give credit to the sports leagues. They're trying. They're trying to do this safely. They're trying to give us a little bit of an escape beginning at the end of the month. What are you most looking forward to when sports restarts in earnest? And it begins with Major League Baseball, which starts essentially with the exhibition season a week from today when the Cubs take on the White Sox at Wrigley Field. And just after that, you're going to have the NBA getting underway. The Blackhawks resume on August 1st with a shot, albeit it's a long shot, but they're in the dance. They've got an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. And then football begins with training camp July 28th. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. After the phones we go, Mike is in Byron. Hi, Mike. You're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Hope you're safe and everybody's healthy for you.
You too, Mike.
You too. What's up?
Hey, well, you talked about Stoney. I listened to you yesterday with Stoney on there, and he's comparing Andre Dawson to Luis Roberts. I think back in January when the White Sox had their convention, their own teammates, Abreu and Moncada, compared him to Mike Trout.
Wow.
Now, that's huge. I mean, you're talking about a center fielder who hadn't even broke into the major leagues yet. And
yeah,
you got
to bring
the leader and Moncada, who is going to be another all-star, you know. Talking about Luis Roberts, this kid, being a Mike Trout. The next Mike Trout.
You know, Mike, if you want a young player to develop into that type of even comparable player, then you better have some positive influences around the clubhouse. And I'm talking about in terms of players, in their preparation, in their everyday responsibilities. Because I think when you bring in a guy to a team that's been struggling for playoff success, you have high expectations for him, but he's got to see those guys in the locker room that have been there, that have marquee names, that are setting the example of how to carry yourself, how to prepare, and what you're going to become. You know, we go back and we watch Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, and he talks about the players or the atmosphere when he got there and what he knew he had to change. And here's a young guy that's making a change inside of a basketball locker room that contains less bodies. However, if you want that locker room to change, it's got to be positive influences, especially to capture the talents of how they're comparing him.
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out from every baseball expert that you talk to, they compare the skill set of Luis Robert to someone who has dominated the game of baseball. The thing, though, is that's physical. I think ultimately what will allow a player to reach the full potential is what happens above the neck. And it's the ability to think the game. It's the work ethic. It's the ability to adjust. Because to me, all sports is about being able to adjust to the most challenging league that an athlete will ever be in. And those are things we can't answer right now. You don't know how that's going to transpire. I mean, obviously, the physical tools are on display every time we see a highlight from Luis Robert. But I also think that's why the White Sox, you know, you were talking about the locker room that was around when Michael Jordan first joined the Bulls. And it was a terrible locker room. Remember, they had the traveling circus that eventually they had to weed out before the expectations were raised by Michael himself. A great player can do that on his own. But the White Sox, what they've done a really good job of, you know, Abreu is a leader. They added Edwin Encarnacion during the offseason, and he's an important part of what they want to do. They added another veteran in Nomar Mazara during the offseason. And then they've got a bunch of young players who have had a little bit of a taste of success at the major league level. And they've also done it to their pitching staff. I think that was a big reason why they brought in Dallas Keuchel. They added the former Cubs, Steve Cishek, into the bullpen. So they've done a good job of mixing in veteran players who have been in a whole bunch of different situations to the core of young talent that they've got on the South Side.
Yeah, but when you're a young man and you have such high expectations thrust upon you, it's hard to live up those expectations because sometimes they're unrealistic, as Mike from Byron brought in Mike Trout as a comparable. So now you got these guys in the locker room that have struggled and they've become successful because of the hard work they've invested in themselves, and now they're at where they're at. And then you have a young person, and you have all these expectations immediately thrust upon him. If you show a sign of vulnerability, if you're not developing along at the pace that was expected of you, it kind of changes the dynamic in the locker room. Well, in the locker room, and then sometimes it affects the player themselves. You know, again, a relatable story from my past, because you have these young guys. I remember my freshman year going to Notre Dame. when you're there a week earlier before the veterans, all the freshmen, they line up and they take your weight and they take your height for the first day you get there. And throughout the time, when I got to Notre Dame, the first day I stepped on the scale, I'm there to play football. I'm not there to be a backup. I'm not there waiting 3 years. I'm not hoping I make the traveling team. I'm there to play football. And that's the kind of the confidence that I learned from around here and the way I grew up. I remember one of the kids weighing in behind me. He was from a really prestigious high school in Kansas City. And he stepped on the scale, and they said his name, and they said his height and his weight. And he got off the scale and immediately said, "Man, I don't belong here." And, Zach, I had such a sad feeling for him, because now he has no expectations in his self. Now it's going to start filtering through his entire four-year career at Notre Dame. He made it through. He never really played, and he was on the demonstration squad the whole time. But it was immediately he felt it. And when I heard him say it, I felt sorry for him, but I felt, okay, I'm at a different level of confidence than he is. It never worked out for him, and I was playing my freshman year. So, like I said, when expectations are thrust upon you, can you live up to them? Because he was from a super successful high school program, they immediately said, okay, this guy has ability and he's a four-star player. He wasn't. It was just because he had so much notoriety and so much publicity about being on such a good high school team. And so those are some of the examples that I lived through in my sports life, even when I think about him up to this level.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. What are you most excited about seeing when the sports you care about get underway by the end of the month? Baseball, hockey, basketball, football. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer with you. You bring up a great point about the mentality that you need to succeed. And it's what I was talking about earlier. You know, when Michael Jordan joined the Bulls, he wasn't Michael Jordan. He was a terrific college player. But no one thought that here was the greatest player that anyone in NBA history would have seen. And I don't think the expectations were comparing Michael Jordan to the best of all time when he first joined the Bulls. But that's what's happening with Luis Robert as he joins the White Sox. The comparisons are just bananas. And I understand why. I totally get it. But I think it's extremely difficult to live up to those types of expectations. You know who did it? And the best example I can give is LeBron James. From the moment that he was a high school star, he was compared to the very best basketball players in the history of the game. And he has never had a hiccup. And he's lived up to those lofty expectations. I mean, think about it. People criticize LeBron. What's the thing they criticize him the most for? The way he announced that he was leaving Cleveland and going to the Miami Heat. That's like the worst thing he's ever done in his career. It really is remarkable that in this era, with the spotlight on him from the time that he was a teenager, social media, everyone expecting greatness from the get-go, that he's been exactly as good as advertised.
Yeah, but it's also his commitment to himself, commitment to the work ethic in the offseason. That's one of my most admirable qualities of LeBron James, because we've seen examples of it from Magic Johnson to Michael Jordan to Kobe Bryant, and then you have the similar expectations of LeBron James, and he's never disappointed anybody. Like you said, yeah, there was no right way he could make the announcement to Cleveland, Ohio, that I'm a homegrown guy, I'm leaving to go to Miami, and, oh, well, I'm going to bring two other guys with me, and we're going to create this pack. I've never begrudged LeBron about anything, because even when he put himself on a pedestal and went down to Miami, he was able to deliver. And then he went back to Cleveland and delivered again. So, yep. Listen, you know, if he didn't have this invested work ethic in himself to be in supreme shape and then continue developing his game, that, man, if you can't admire LeBron James, then then either you're just you having a jealousy, envy, or whatever, or you're just not a fan of LeBron James.
Yeah. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The other thing, though, is it does come down to your ability mentally to adjust to pressure, your ability to adjust to the actual game and the way the league adjusts to you. Have you seen guys who just simply could not do that? I'm talking about the highest possible level of competition, because that's what Luis Robert is about to face. Have you seen guys that had all the physical tools in the world, but at the NFL level, just could not make the adjustment when the league adjusted to them?
Yeah, but you know what? You see it more individually, Zach, you know, because football is a team sport. And, you know, for example, you know, the Bears drafted a guy when I was there in the first round out of Texas, Stan Thomas. And, you know, I like what Stan eventually developed into as a person, but when he was overdrafted, he was taught, all of his qualifications were told to us before we ever had a chance to meet him. But then when you looked at what he was required to do, where he was drafted, and the position he was supposed to take over, he never succeeded at it. And for where he was drafted, he didn't have the 10, 12-year star-studded career when you're a first-round draft choice out of University of Texas. And a couple of years before they drafted him, they drafted a kid out of Texas, Richmond Webb, who went on to have a Hall of Fame career for the Miami Dolphins. And I ended up playing with Richmond at the end of his career in Miami. So it was an unfair comparison just because they went to the same university. They played the same position. So, you know, I, again, in a team sport, from the time I went to college all the way through the years of even broadcasting, you see guys every year you're drafted with this expectation, but you never really, you fail to achieve.
All right. Do you remember your first moment in sports where you had to overcome failure? Because there's a trajectory that you go through. I'm talking individually, where you know you are better than most, because you don't get to the level of playing in the National Football League without being better than most of your peers. But there always comes that point for every athlete where you experience individual failure. You know, from Michael Jordan, it came early when he was cut from the junior high basketball team and had to work his way back. Do you remember that moment? Because you learn a lot about people by how they overcome their failures.
God, I mean, you know, why did I only go to Little League for one game and one plate appearance? Because I was, I'm serious. So I remember this. I mean, they used to have a Little League here called Rivals. I went down there, and I remember the name of the pitcher that struck me out on three pitches. And I... And it's, but see, as when you're a kid and you don't have the talent and you're out there at the plate and you fail so miserably with such immediacy, I can remember that. But I also remember the first game I started for Mike Ditka on a professional level when we're winning by 40 points and he pulls me out of the game because I got a holding call in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
So that I remember that. It's, then later on in my career, I had a lengthy string of starts, like 75 in a row, and Ditka benched me for a game. That was probably the most embarrassing thing that I ever had to live through in my sports career, because when you go back and they write about it in the Sun-Times and the Tribune and the Daily Herald and it's on the, you know, sports talk radio, you're humiliated because you think about what it does to you individually, but also your family and how all your friends are reacting to it. So from striking out in Little League at Rivals to getting pulled from the first game I started for Mike Dickin, he yelled at me from my entire journey back from the middle of the field to the sideline and onto the bench.
All right. So remember last week we had a conversation about who is the David Ross of the Cubs clubhouse. I'm talking about the
yes.
former player David Ross, not manager David Ross. And is there a guy in that clubhouse? And you said it's probably John Lester. And Coom and I were talking about how it's probably not a pitcher, even though John Lester is a leader. Well, David Ross was asked about Lester's leadership, and I want you to hear what he had to say next, because I thought it was the perfect description of who John Lester is, why he's been so successful, and why there are so many people that look up to him. That's next. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're here till 3 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
His presence, you know, for me, John's done some things around here in his career and what he brought over here when he signed here in 2015. I mean, he brought, one, an expectation to winning. He brought a presence on the mound of a true ace. He got over here and you had an ace like Jake Arrieta that was just, you know, bursting on the scene. So you had two number ones, and John's done so much for, I think, this group and this organization as far as preparation off the field, how he goes about his business prior to his start day, the routine he has when he comes in here. He doesn't shy away from that routine or vary from that routine, I should say. There's a work day, there's a bullpen day, there's a workout day, there's a film day, and then he's prepped and locked in when he steps on that mound. So, yeah, I mean, he brings his resume, obviously speaks for itself of what he's done. But like you said, outside of what he's done on the field, I think he's influenced this organization as a whole in a really good way.
To summarize what David Ross just said about Cubs pitcher John Lester, he's a culture changer. He changed the culture at Wrigley Field. It was a team that was building up, a lot of nice young pieces that were put together. But in that clubhouse, Lester took that talent and said, you know what? It's time that we win with this talent. And there were other things that played a role as well, including the hiring of Joe Maddon, I think, overall. But you need player leaders, and John Lester was that, I think, for the pitching staff, more so than everyone else in that clubhouse. David Ross played a big part in terms of being a verbal leader as a position player. But I think for that young pitching staff, everyone on it, including the guys in the pen, that's the impact that John Lester has had on the North Side. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You know, Zach, I think Joe Maddon needed John Lester as much as John Lester brought to that locker room. Because you get a few guys in the locker room, if you got a couple of young kids that are, not young kids, young players in the locker room, and they may be having some young fun or jacking around, when that door opens and you see Lester coming through the door, you know, you immediately straighten yourself up. And, you know, you play with guys like that that bring that instant, it's not a seriousness, but it kind of is. They understand what you need, what the commitment we need out of you if we're going to accomplish the big picture. And in baseball, that Super Bowl. When I listen to David Ross in his description of John Lester, and he never wavered from his preparedness a day before a start, the day of a start, and that, it reminds me a lot of maybe the description of Charles Tillman. Because Charles Tillman had this pregame routine that he used to go through that was almost exhaustive because he wanted to be warmed up. He wanted to be stretched. He wanted to be ready to go from play one. And it's also what he brought into the locker room when he showed up. The footprint that he left on all of the NFL and the Chicago Bears when you talk about the peanut punch. And then you look at John Lester in the comparative to the stature that he has earned throughout of all of Major League Baseball. So when I listened to, when I was listening to David Ross, I was kind of, it gravitated me towards thinking about Charles and his preparation. Two different sports, but you look at the longevity and the success of each of these players. John Lester's going to leave the Chicago Cubs eventually with carrying a World Series ring. Charles Tillman, when he left the Bears, there's Hall of Fame consideration. He went to the Super Bowl. He left an identifiable trait to the game that people now coach and teach, and they have roles of it on film.
Yeah, I mean, and they gave his number to Jalen Johnson, the new cornerback that was drafted in the second round by Ryan Pace. You want to talk about pressure. It's a lot to live up to with that
expectations.
33.
You know, this, I think this is the theme of the show. It's expectations, because they all have pressure on them. You know, John Lester, when he makes the first start of the regular season, he's going to have pressure on him. But he knows how to deal with that. He knows how to live with it. And it's the same thing. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right, because that's what he was. So John Lester was asked about this being a 60-game season, and you know that everything – look, there's going to be an asterisk next to it. We all understand, but it's a unique season. I think just the fact that they're going to try and pull this off, to me, is a big deal in the landscape that we're living in right now. And a championship is still a championship, and that's what he was saying. A trophy is a trophy. I don't care if it's 60 games, Lester said. You still have to win. You still have to play good baseball. It's not like they're just handing them out at the end like, oh, hey, here's your participation trophy because you guys showed up this year. At the end of the day, we'll look back on this, and people will talk about this season, but you still have to show up. You still have to play well. You still have to do your job to get the trophy, get that ring. That's still important to us. And still important to me.
Heck yeah. Are you kidding me? That's what every guy is in line for. You know, they're in line for that ring, for that trophy, for that championship. And, you know, even nowadays, I rarely look at my Super Bowl ring. I always look at my Super Bowl trophy. And so, you know, the end of the rainbow is that's what you're looking for, that pot of gold. And, you know, to me, you know, I learn more about baseball when I listen to The Score. I listen to Ron Coomer. I listen to Steve Stone because, you know, I don't know, but I love to learn about it. And so what you learned about it since you've been an adult, and then you think of this 60-game race. So I don't know if my math is correct. So if it's 60 games and a pitcher starts every 5 days, so is John Lester going to have 12 starts this year in the regular season? Is that right, or is it not even able to figure out just because – You don't know the rotation of days.
Correct. We don't know the way the rotation's going to work out. You know, eventually you figure weather's going to get involved and you might have some doubleheaders, injuries as well. But I will say this. At the beginning of last year, the first month plus of the season, if I'm not mistaken, John Lester had an ERA in the ones. I mean, he was that impressive in the early going. And I think that's the whole key is, can you get off to a hot start? To me, that's everything about this year is getting off to a hot start, especially on the north side. And here's why. This is probably the last year that the core that won that championship, that had those deep postseason runs, that core that has gone to the playoffs four times in the last 5 years. This is probably the last time we're going to see them together intact as a group. And the reason is because at the end of this season, Lester and Rizzo are free agents. There's a team option, but then money becomes a rule. And then at the end of 2021, Bryant, Baez, Schwarber, all free agents. And I think if we've learned anything during this layoff between spring training and the restart of this baseball season, it is clearly a business between the players and owners. So I just think it's going to be hard to bring everybody back, and this is probably the last hurrah, the last dance, if you will, for the Cubs as we currently know them. Now, it's under new management with David Ross as the skipper, but August, at the end of August, is the trading deadline. And, you know, I don't know what the market is going to be, but if the Cubs disappoint in the early going and they're not a part of the mix, realistically, you would have to think that they're going to break this thing up this season. Now, I think they will be in the mix, very much so, just because of the personnel that they've got. But that's what's at stake in 2020 on the north side.
Well, hopefully you don't let that infiltrate the locker room and be a topic of conversation to the guys whose contracts are up at the end of the year or ones that are coming up. I think Theo has to do something to deflect that conversation so guys don't start thinking about themselves more than they're thinking about, you know, their future. And so it's just a topic that, is the dynamic here is because David Ross is so closely removed from these guys, and I'm sure there had to be topics like that floating around the locker room when he was an active player. You know, he's going to have to distance himself from sympathizing with a Rizzo or a Lester or a Chris Bryant. He's got to be the manager of the Chicago Cubs, and the business side of it has to be dealt with to the personnel who deals with that exclusively.
Okay, now you can relate to this because I think there are a lot of parallels between the 2016 Cubs and the 85 Bears, because there was the buildup the year before you guys won the championship. Same thing with the Cubs in 2015, you guys during the 1984 season. And then there were major expectations through the roof in 85 for them in 2016. They lived up to the expectations you guys did. And at the time, most people thought with both teams, man, we're going to see this again at least one more time. And it never happened. But the championship core, for the most part, with the 85 team outside of Otis, kind of stayed together for a long period of time. Not Wilbur. So I think, did you need a coach to get on you in the subsequent years? Or did you guys know what you needed to do in order to put yourself in a position to win a championship because you had done it?
Well, you know, we knew what we had to do. Is, you know, 3 years after the Super Bowl, we had the best regular season record. It was just a deficiency at the most important position in playoffs, and that was the quarterback. Because if you go back and you look at the game plans of the defensive coordinators that we face in the playoffs without having stable quarterback play, they were making adjustments defensively that we weren't familiar with, that we hadn't seen in the regular season. And now you have a quarterback, whether it's Doug Flutie or whomever was playing at the time, Tom Zach Fuller, even Jim McMahon, you know, with some shoulder mm-hmm. limitations. It's a position you can take advantage of. It's either a lack of health or a lack of knowledge, and it's identified easily, and so the other team strikes. And they also have a week's notification how to change their system a little bit because, okay, you know, with the injury report and health issues, you have to make, you know, along the line of your health qualifications if you're going to play or not. So when they know inexperience is going to be playing at the quarterback position, or you don't have the threat of downfield knowledge of a guy like McMahon, it's just an easier for that defense to attack our offense.
Because I would say that, yeah, the Cubs have made some mistakes. Like over the last season, it's been well documented, the poor base running and the errors were a big issue. But they also have had issues at the end of games with the closer the last 2 years. And if you look, they backed into the playoffs in 2018. Remember, Pedro Strop got hurt late in the year. Brandon Morrow was lights out in the first half of the season, but injuries have always been an issue for him, and he was not able to complete the second half of 2018. They clearly missed him. They backed into the playoffs and got bounced by Colorado in the wild card game. And then in 2019, last year, you know, Strope had to rush back, wasn't quite right. They have to sign Craig Kimbrell, and he wasn't quite right. Both of them were kind of banged up, and you saw what happened at the tail end of the season when they needed the closer to step up and play big. They couldn't do it, and I think that's something that hurt them. So, like you were talking about, injuries influencing why the Bears were not able to win another championship with that great group that you played with. I think to a certain degree that's been the case with the Cubs for the last couple of seasons. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, I want to shift gears and start talking about football. Remember, I asked you earlier, what other competitions should we be keeping our eye on at Bears training camp when it gets underway on July 28th? Also, I have a long list of things that the owners and players have yet to agree to in terms of safety protocols, and they're going to continue their negotiations tomorrow. How do they get this thing done so we can actually see training camp start on time and games eventually being played in the National Football League? Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. You can join us at 312-644-6767. The Coom Dog, Ron Coomer at 3 o'clock. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.